Hey everybody, welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Jason Rothman, and this is a podcast exclusively about Google Ads. And well, I cannot remember the last time in over a decade that I was wrong about something or that I learned something from another person. I'm still going to say we're humbly trying to improve our skills on this show, and that's what it's all about. And we don't have all the answers, but we're looking for them, and that's what we're trying to do on the show, about improving our knowledge forever and ever. So Chris is my partner, my co-host, and I humbly ask you today, how are you doing? And I thank you so much for joining me for this podcast, Chris. It's a privilege, it's an honor, and
I can't even.
I am experiencing so much humility every time I see you show up just to talk to me, and I appreciate it so much. So I'm so interested. I've been wondering all week, how are you? How is Chris doing? How is another person doing? Not interested in making more money. Not interested in achieving my own goals.
Right.
Not interested in making my own life as good as possible. All I've been thinking about this week is how is Chris doing? Chris, how are you? So tell me, how are you today? How's it going?
Well, you've been waiting a week to hear the answer, and I think you could have guessed it. I'm well, Jason. I'm well.
Good.
Was that everything you were hoping for? Is that?
Wow, that's so interesting. Other people interest me so much, including you. Wow.
This is like the equivalent of a teenager or you know, preteen going through puberty. This is like Jason's adult puberty where he's like, guys, I'm so humble. I know I used to be the loud, screaming, bearded guy, but now I'm so interested. I'm so at peace. I've grown up. I'm mature. I don't yell anymore. I don't grunt and scream into the mic. I now approach you with a calm, level voice. So it's.
I don't make up my own friends, my invisible friends that you can't see.
Right. You pretend like they're invisible friends, but we all know it's like a self-reflection of your childhood. So, you know, it's sad. I can't say I'm going to miss them too much, though.
Hey, Chris, I know you've been hot and heavy all week to get back to the Paid Search Podcast because you are in love with the website episode. What is going on? Why do you feel so strongly about this?
Well, I have been enjoying, you know, the fact that there's a great topic to talk about. And the reason I look forward to it is because these are the kind of things people ask about. I feel like we've harped on Google Ads and keywords and strategy and manual bids a lot. When I do training sessions with people, they say, I know you're the manual bidding guy. I know you're going to scream at me, but I do optimized bidding. I do automated. They like apologize. They grovel.
That's music to my ears because as long as everybody else is doing that, my management is going to shine through and my performance is going to get otherworldly results because everyone's just fooling around. We'll put it that way with themselves over and over. And I'm just like, okay, just keep doing it. Have fun. But every time I hear people are still doing it, it makes me happy.
Well, you know, so obviously we've harped on that. People know the message there. But when it comes to website stuff, I mean, that's the second most common thing is people asking questions about that. And it's great to really talk about it, not just a quick point. When we're talking about conversions, we talk about, you know, now we're talking about how to really do it, how to set yourself up, how to build a platform designed to properly track Google Ads conversions. You know, I mean, it's such a great topic. You know, rarely do we get to harp on this, you know, one topic and define what that looks like and what that means so well. So, thank you, Jason. I am humbled by the brainstorming session that we had together, where we came together as one and birthed this beautiful podcast baby.
Yeah, and today we'll be doing part two, talking all about how to make your website conversion tracking friendly for PPC.
Yeah. Let me tell you guys a quick tip. We've been talking about landing pages, and we're talking about landing pages again today. We're talking about conversions. And let me talk a bit about how to take it a step further, even beyond what we've talked about so far. There's a tool called Optio. Optio is a Google Ads tool. That's how I use it. That's how Jason uses it. That's how I typically refer to it. But it does other things as well. It uses, you can use other platforms, but that's what we are. We're Google Ads guys, and we love this tool because of the efficiency and ability to get things done faster in Google Ads. One example that's very relevant to today's discussion is their detect landing page errors feature. Okay, you'll be automatically alerted whenever one of your landing pages has a technical problem. So I've done this before, and this is one of the hardest emails to write to a client is when you say, you know, last month when you said you updated your website, yeah, I didn't go check my links, and you changed the URL. And since you have a custom 404 page, like Google didn't track it. It didn't kill the ad. It didn't stop the ad. It didn't detect that it was wrong. And I completely missed that page is no longer working. You know, I mean, that's a really embarrassing. This Optio tool, you can detect those and be automatically alerted whenever one of your landing pages, one of your sites changes, whenever there's a crash or something like that, something changes. So if you want to check out this wonderful tool that does way more than that, you can try it out for free for 8 weeks, 2 months at opteo.com/psp2. That's opteo.com/psp2. Use the chat box in the bottom right corner. Tell them you're from the Paid Search Podcast and you want an additional 4 weeks, adding up to a total of 8 weeks. Create an account, connect your Google Ads, start making improvements. No credit card required. You're going to love this tool. opteo.com/psp2.
Thanks, Chris. And I want to thank Kyle Solerud and tell you about his podcast, Google Ad Strategy with Kyle Solerud. There's only so much that one man and a co-host from Texas can do when it comes to producing Google Ads content on a podcast. We do our episode each week. We've been doing it for years, but if you want more information about Google Ads, if you want another podcast to help you increase your skill set, we recommend Google Ads Strategy with Kyle Solerud. It's published by our friend Kyle Solerud. It's called Google Ads Strategy with Kyle Solerud, and you can find it on any podcast player that you use. One thing Kyle did with this podcast is he started by answering the most common questions about Google Ads. So if you go back and you start with the first episode, you'll basically be getting a free intro to a Google Ads course within the first 30 episodes. Then more recently, he's been interviewing other Google Ads experts and covering specific topics like Google Ads for e-commerce, Google Ads for dentists, and Google Ads for other types of local businesses. Wherever you're at with Google Ads, whether you're a beginner or an expert, we think you'll get a lot from Kyle's show. Again, search Google Ads Strategy with Kyle Solerud in your podcast player and subscribe today. You can also go to googleadsstrategy.com and check out all the episodes Kyle has done. And again, podcasts are a great way to increase your Google Ads skills. Right there where you're managing accounts all day, you can flip on the podcast and increase your skills. So my co-host from Texas, who's joining a real man here, let's talk about conversion tracking, how to make your website conversion tracking friendly for PPC. So Chris, just to recap what we're doing here. We're giving tips broken out in 5 sections. This is the second section. Last week we did tech specs. Now we're doing conversion tracking friendly. We're not talking about like the prettiest website. We're not talking about how to get your website to win awards at the advertising banquets and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. We're talking about how to make your website perfect for Google Ads, for PPC campaigns. And this is based on years of experience and just seeing what works with clients' websites, what doesn't. And a huge thing is making it conversion tracking friendly. So just in terms of your Google Ads management, Chris, if you could tie up your clients, put handcuffs on them, control every aspect of their life, how high would making their website conversion tracking friendly be? Like, does that matter to your Google Ads management? Is it something you would almost pay money to have done because it helps you so much? Or is it like you can take it or leave it? How important is having a conversion tracking friendly website to work with for you?
Conversion tracking is not something that I immediately have to have when I'm launching a new campaign. I don't know if that surprises you or not, but I wouldn't say it is the most important, because in reality, I want a page that at least delivers the right content. So I wouldn't put conversion tracking friendliness as the number one priority. First of all, I would put, you know, the content, the structure, the UI.
Relevancy,
exactly. That's what I would put first, because if I tracked conversions properly, but I had horrible title tags, I had horrible content, I had a horrible call to action, it was so poorly written that people didn't even understand. Google gave me poor quality scores, had slow loading times. If that all was happening, but I had great conversion tracking, that was locked down, I'd lose the battle. So number one is I have to have those things. Number two is conversion tracking. And I mean, just had this conversation with a client yesterday. We've been working together for several months, actually close to a year now. And they said, you know, they're talking like, Chris, we want to take this to the next level. You know, how can we get even more? You know, like, where do we go to optimize? What are we going to talk about next month? You know, when we chat, you know, we've reached the end of a lot of the minutiae of smaller things. And you know what I said? I said, we need to lock down conversion tracking. You guys keep telling me that, you know, I say you got 15 leads and you're like, actually, no, we got like 22, you know, or we got 13 or we got 10. When those numbers don't match up, I can't give them a true cost per acquisition. And if I can't give you a true cost per acquisition, I can't tell you if our CPCs should go up. I can't tell you if I should improve, you know, certain keywords, turn certain keywords off, change the messaging, call to action, stuff like that. So it is absolutely a hard number two on my priority list, because conversion tracking being one-to-one, you get one phone call, you get a conversion. You get one lead form, you get a conversion. That's what we mean by conversion tracking friendly. It means when you get an action on your website, ping, it shows up in Google Ads. It shows up as one conversion. It shows as a value added from paid traffic.
Yeah, Chris, I'm always, it happens over and over, but I'm always shocked when I start working with a new client. We just launch before we get the conversion tracking in place sometimes, and then I hear from them within a couple weeks, like, Jason, I've gotten more new business from your campaign in the last 2 weeks than I did in the last 6 months. Like, what are you doing? Like, this is amazing. And I'm so surprised to hear that over and over, even before we put in conversion tracking. And that just shows how far perfect search terms, reasonable bids, closing the loop of relevancy. Someone does a search, they see an ad that matches their search, they see a business and a website that matches the ad and the search, goes, how far that goes. But conversion tracking, you're right, it is a next level thing. And it's kind of like baseball in the early 2000s. Search terms, bids, good websites, content, all that stuff, that can get you to be a Major League Baseball player, even an all-star. But if you want to just slow down the way the ball comes to the plate with your eye, you want to be able to hit a world record number of home runs. You want to be able to juice to the absolute gills and get performance that no one has ever gotten before. And after they find out what you're doing, no one will ever get again. That kind of performance. Conversion tracking is the steroids. It's a human growth hormone. It's the cream. It's the rub. It's the pills. It's the shots. Whatever you want to call it, it really does take things to the next level. And for me, Chris, it's like, I don't know, we can get maybe like 70, 80% of the way there in terms of like producing good results. But you layer on a perfect conversion tracking on top of it, and it's just amazing what you can do. It takes you all the way there. And the big thing, Chris, is it matches up what's happening for the client, the advertiser, in real life with their business, how much new business they're getting. It basically puts all of that new business into the Google Ads account in the form of data and translates it to data. And that allows you and I and people like us to manage the campaign and actually figure out exactly what keywords, exactly what ads are producing that new business. But it all comes down to being able to track those conversions. So today we're going to talk about all the mistakes people make, all the things they're not doing right when it comes to websites. And listen up, because you may think you're tracking the lead forms, you're tracking some phone calls, you think you're tracking everything, but there's probably, there could be some mistakes you're still making. So Chris, what is that first way to make your website conversion tracking friendly.
Yeah. So based on my history with clients, you're going to split usually in the direction of more phone calls than lead forms. Depends on your industry. But the first thing I would say, priority, which is so funny to hear that because most people don't have this covered, but phone call tracking is priority. You know, unless you're B2B and the sales process is super slow and you have to get a quote and schedule a demo and it's a very slow process, most people end up with phone number tracking. You need to know when someone calls. Here's the thing. This is kind of the ugly truth, and there's different levels. We've talked about phone call tracking before. But when it comes down to phone call tracking, you can't do it accurately unless there's some kind of amazing technology that I don't know about, but I would say it's not nearly as reliant as the number one way of tracking phone calls is changing the phone number. The phone number has to change.
Come on, Chris. Don't. We talked about it before the show. You were talking about these nerds online that want to write storybooks of the ways you can do things better and better.
Mm-hmm.
You can't track You can't track phone tracking unless you change the number. So
I'm not aware of any.
Don't qualify that.
I'm holding my error close to my
chest.
You're not aware.
They don't exist.
I am not aware. I'm testifying here. I am not aware of any way that is better than changing the phone number. I wish there was.
Because it doesn't exist.
That's what I believe, yeah.
Well, someone could say, well, you send your pay-per-click traffic to a certain page on the website that lists a different phone number.
That's still changing.
You can know the quantity. You can know how many phone numbers you get. But you can't. It doesn't actually tie the loop of knowing what search and what ad produced the call.
That's an excellent point.
The phone number has to change into a forwarding number.
The reason we're advocating that you change your phone number on the site and that you use either a third-party application or you use the built-in Google Ads call tracking. Whether you use either one of those, whether a paid system or a free system with Google Ads. The point is, unless you do it that way, you do not get information about which keyword, which search term, which device, time of day, which campaign, which ad group. You don't get that information. Exactly what Jason said.
The user's income profile, the user's gender.
Yeah. All that kind of stuff. Range. It goes all the way through every aspect of what that person triggered in Google Ads, all the way down the funnel, is triggered as a conversion. So you can track that. And if you don't, all you know is, hey, we got 15 more calls, but you made 1,600 changes to Google Ads. So which one of those 1,600 changes brought in the additional 40% of leads? You don't know. It's impossible.
So here's where people can trip themselves up, Chris, two ways. Number one is if you list multiple phone numbers on your website. Some people work in different area codes, different like locations. Like someone might have some of their business set up in New Jersey, some of it set up in Pennsylvania, some of it set up in New York, something like that. And they list out three different phone numbers on their site. That's fine. You can, of course, keep doing that because that's what you have to do for your business. But the mistake people make is they don't create conversion tracking, whether it's a third-party platform or it's website call tracking with Google Ads, they don't create conversions for each of the phone numbers. So sometimes they'll be like, yeah, our big prominent number in the header, we're tracking that with website call tracking from Google Ads.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, but what about the three numbers in the footer or on your contact page? And we're not tracking those. And the thing is, this is for Google Ads perfection, the perfect website. So generate the conversion code in the conversions, website call conversion, and slap it on the site and do it for each number that's listed. Run through your whole website. Are there second numbers on the contact page, whatever, in the footer, whatever? So that's one way. The other way, Chris, is images. People have images of phone numbers on their website, whether it's like in the header and the phone number is based on part of the header image and it's not actually text that can be changed with when the conversion code fires. So you want to look at your header and make sure that your phone number is not part of an image. And if it is, get your website person to change that and make sure it becomes text, paragraph or header text or whatever, but text that the code can find and swap out with the forwarding number. Another example of images with a phone number that's not going to be tracked is images of the business. Chris, we've had moving companies we worked with. They have an image of their truck on their homepage. Yeah. I love that because I love real pictures of real people and real business assets, your office building, your trucks, your uniforms, whatever. But they have their phone number big on a moving truck. The conversion code, whether it's third party or Google Ads, it won't be able to change that into a forwarding number because it's part of an image. It's not text. So if someone goes to the site, clicks on a Google Ads ad, doesn't call the number in the header, calls the number in this big, beautiful truck, yeah, the business will get the call. That's great, but we won't be able to track it. So what I've had clients do is we've worked with a graphic designer and we've recreated the image, photoshopped out the phone number on the truck with just like other, just the same color of the rest of the truck. Yeah, because I want all those conversions. Chris, someone comes to me and asks me, okay, you're doing a great job, but I want to get better results. How do I get better? Like you said at the beginning of the show, well, this is how you get better. Yeah. You redo your image to get rid of the phone number, and people have to dial the phone numbers they see on the website, not in the images. Yep. The ones on the website are trackable, and you get all the conversion codes. So that's a big kind of common issue I see over and over, just phone numbers that kind of fall out of the loop of conversion tracking.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. Okay, so very quickly, one thing I'd like to mention, I briefly glanced over it. It's not directly related to your website, but it is how we track phone numbers. I think it's worth at least stating again, there are third-party systems, and I am not going to name what they are because, well, honestly, because one of them might come to us for sponsorship, and then I'll say that one's my favorite. So I'm not going to say which one it is. But if it comes and you hear me say my favorite phone call tracking is blank, then you know that's what it was.
Just know we're getting upgrades on the house. You know, if that happens, like just know, just have a little good feelings for us. Yeah. You know, we're getting a new bathroom. You know, Daddy's getting a new tub,
right?
That he can fit in,
right? So
that he can fit a lot of people in.
Fit a lot of people in. It's called a hot tub, Jason. You don't bring them in your house, weirdo. Come on. So that's the third party.
I care
system.
Too much. That's my problem, Chris. I care too much.
So you use the third party system, and this third party system is different because it can record the phone call, and you can also get a report. You own that phone number. Okay, a lot of advantages. So when you pay for something, you get some advantages. The other system, which is entirely free, built into Google Ads, simply requires a piece of code you add to your website, and it's the Google call tracking for websites. And this, you don't own the number. The number can change. You don't know which number it's replacing your number with. It's just doing it automatically. You have no way of verifying or seeing how it works. There's no preview system. There's no call tracking. There's no way to forward calls and do some kind of call carousel thing or whatever they call it. You know, there's very limited options, but it's free and it's built in and it works. You just can't analyze the system too closely. So important to note,
you know,
there.
That Chris, if Google would just come out and say people get to own the phone number for 14 days, 30 days, that's or something true. Like that, that would convince a lot of advertisers to go ahead and use that website call conversion tracking. Yep. What you do get with it all for free, you find out what conversion brought in the call, whether it was like a click on an ad or a dial on the website. Of course, you get the conversion tracking, keyword ad, and all that. You find out how long the call lasted, the area code of the caller,
good point.
When the call started, when it ended, again, the duration, and whether it was answered or missed. So you do get a lot of information,
and the
especially
time of
for
day,
free.
Time of day, right? Which you could
the exact time it
reverse
started
engineer.
And
So that you'd be able to say, oh, that was that call with George. You know, he called me Friday afternoon at 3, and you could look up and see what clicks came through at 3.
Yeah, if your business gets an average of 20 calls a day, and now 7 of them are coming from Google Ads, and you get in there the next day and look at your call report or have an automated report sent to you, and you see a 15-minute call from 3 in the afternoon, you're like, okay, that was that huge job we got yesterday. Yep. I know for a fact I wasn't on the phone with anybody else. That paid for Google Ads for the next year, so I know Google Ads working. So the free tracking from Google, it does go a long way here. Chris, this is a big one. Making your website conversion tracking friendly for Google Ads. Thank you, Pages. So you have a choice. When someone fills out a lead form, you can do three things. You can take them to a new page, a new URL, like slash thanks, slash thank you, And that's the confirmation page.
Thank you page.
You can have a thank you page. You can have a message on the same page or a pop-up on the same page and not leave the current page, just telling them they submitted it and you got their submission. Or you can take them to some kind of third-party booking system, or the actual form embedded on the site is a third-party system. Those are kind of your three options. Now, walk people through what our recommendation is, and then I'll walk you through some of the rebuttals, and then you'll rebut my rebuttals.
Right.
And then we'll try not to make it personal, and we'll try to teach people something from this.
Right. So if you want the truth about what I prefer, ideal situation is you're not using a third party. You're not having to point people to a third party site. I'm going to ignore the people that have to do that because that's a whole nother boat, and we may get into that later. But for now, I'm going to talk to people that have a quote form, a contact form, a quick contact, a some kind of sign up, get a demo, request a demo, all kinds of stuff. If it's on your site and you control the form, it is not a framed in iframe kind of form, and you control it. Ideally, the best situation is to, when they hit the submit button, forward them to a domain.com/thank you. Doesn't have to say thank you. It could be, confirmation.
Success, whatever. Something.
It doesn't matter what it is. And here's the trick. Let's say you have 14 forms on your website, and some of them are quotes. Some of them are contact forms. Some of them are demo requests. All of them can go to the same page. This is something I hear a lot. And this saves the developer so much time, because they just auto-forward completion straight to that thank you. And you put the confirmation code on that thank you page, on that confirmation page. You do not place it on the page that has the form. You paste it on the domain.com/thank you, domain.com/confirmation, success, whatever.
That's Google Ads conversion code.
Yes, Google Ads conversion code.
Website conversion code.
Yes. And that can be generated directly in Google Ads.
People say, well, what if someone fills out the form organically or from social media and they see that thank you page? Won't that see the conversion code and get tracked as a conversion? No, because it calls it a conversion if the session came from or within the last 30 days, cookies, whatever, came from a Google Ads click. So if someone does it, fills out the form organically, social media, whatever, it's not going to show up as a conversion. Now, Chris, I would say, just to finish up the third party thing real quick, the embedded forms and all that, some of them do have an option where, upon success of their system, filling out the entire flow of their embedded form, whatever, you can have the option. I think Calendly has this option. You can take users to a success page, and that can be a page on your website, the thank you page, and you can still be able to track conversions that way. So it really comes down to whether or not you use a thank you page or not.
Yeah.
And I think it's fair to say, both strongly, strongly recommend thank you pages. The reason why is because the tracking is easier. You can either, well, we'll talk about analytics later on, but the point is, you slap conversion code on that thank you page. It tracks when people filled out a lead form from a Google Ads click. Simple. We don't like when you keep people on that page and just say the word success or just say thank you, and it's all on that one page they were still on. People would say, why? Why don't you like that? You can still do conversion tracking. Instead of tracking the website page loading, the thank you page, people seeing the thank you page, you just track when they click on the submit button on the form. With an event tracking, or not event, with a Google Ads conversion code, you just say, instead of the website loading a page, you just track clicks on a button.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with that, Chris? What's wrong with that?
If there's anything that I've had more email screaming fights with with developers, it's that. It's because I tell them in this overly long, complicated email, and I'm sorry that it's overly long and complicated, but it's because it happens so many times. They do it wrong. It gets implemented the wrong way. And I end up getting attract conversion anytime somebody comes to that page. If it's a contact page, every time they land on that contact page. If it's a landing page, every time they land.
Or none at all.
Or none. Yeah. It just triggers all the time. They don't implement it right. That, you know, they don't have all the tools to be able to understand how the triggering works, whether it's the system or it's their knowledge. I don't know. But if you want a foolproof system, just like Jason said, it's thank you pages. It's not that on click trigger, because if it just is not consistent unless you have a top tier developer that can get it right and really pays attention to the details, and then still doubt them and go in and check if you're getting multiple, you know, some false positives.
Now, every time I talk to a developer, they say this is easy.
Yeah.
The track clicks on a button so code. True.
Yeah, he does. I got
they
this.
They really do say, oh, they no do problem. Say it's easy. And then the literally, like, what do you think the success rate is of sending that code? And again, maybe it's not the developer, maybe it's a client being able to get the code over to the developer, whatever.
Man.
But I think honestly, track clicks on a button, it might be 10%
yeah.
success
That's
rate.
That's exactly like, the number I was thinking.
Maybe 20%. Like, I don't want to sound like a crazy person out here. Like, you're sending code to someone who says they do website development for a living.
They get it wrong.
Or you're sending it to your client who says they're going to get it taken care of, but I don't know, man. Like, I cannot remember a lot of success sending over track clicks on a button
that I'm like, I send a super enthusiastic thank you. I'd send an overly enthusiastic, very thankful email when they get it right, because I'm like, oh my gosh, you just saved me like an hour of back and forth on emails, you know? Because it rarely happens.
So how does the click on a submit button tracking code work? I have no idea.
Right.
Functions, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. I have no idea. I'm not a website person. How does the track the thank you page loading code work that we recommend? I'm not a website person, but I understand it.
Yeah, simple.
You slap a piece of code in the header, I think it is, on the thank you page. Yeah. Then when that code sees someone on that thank you page who came from a Google Ads click, tracks it as a conversion. It's so simple. You just slap it right there.
Yep.
I think it's the header.
If they come, it's a normal prop. If they come through Google Ads, they have that cookie. If they're in that session that says they are from Google Ads, they then go through all the website. They can bounce over 15 different pages, boom, 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 all over. Then they land on the confirmation thank you page. It triggers that, and it's a true from Google Ads session. It triggers. Nothing complicated about it. If they bounce all over the page and they never land on that confirmation page, then it's not a conversion. Super straightforward.
Yeah, they click on the ad. They don't fill out the conversion code. They call in. It was a missed call. It wasn't 30 seconds or 60 or whatever you're trying to track. No conversions are tracked.
Yep.
But then they call the business up organically, and the business goes, "Oh yeah, just fill out this quote form on our website. Thanks for calling. And once we get that, we'll call you back and we'll schedule out the job." They go to the site again directly, typing in the browser or organically. Because it happened within a certain time period, it does still get tracked as a Google Ads conversion. It's just a great thing. And some people have said, well, it's a better user experience. I think it's called UX, Chris, a UX thing, where if you fill out the form and you stay on the same page, that's a better user experience.
Whatever.
Than going to the thank you page. They say it like it's gospel, like it's the truth. Yeah. And I'm like,
no.
Why do I keep hearing that brainwash term over and over, that it's a better user experience? What's better about not seeing a little pop-up that comes up for 3 seconds and then wondering if your form actually went through? To me as a user, it's better to, I click a button, something big happens, I go to the thank you page, I get peace of mind that I filled out the form and they got it. And then I think for the business, it's a better experience, because that thank you page you can use to sell and get whatever message you want to get about your business across. And it's a new way to kind of get people when you have their attention. So I think it's better for a user experience. And then I also think it's better, obviously it's better for being able to successfully add a conversion code here, Chris. Now, Chris,
this next one's on you, because this emails, I honestly ignore these. So I'm curious to hear what your thoughts are on.
Well, that's not the perfect website. That's so a lot of people have emails on their website, and like you can fill out the contact form or you can email the business. And I'm an old school guy, Chris. Just for some reason, when I see an email listed on a website, I kind of love it.
Yeah.
Like, it just tells me it's almost like a business address. It's like, okay, this is a real business. You can call them. You can go to their office. Yeah. You can email them. Yeah. You
single point of contact.
The boss's name at the company.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. It's cool. So I think it's kind of a real cool kind of small business thing. Like, yeah, you want to schedule a job, email this person at her office. She's been working there for 20 years managing the scheduling. So I like it. And what I've seen from businesses that I work with, people do email the email addresses they see on websites. Like, some people like filling out a form and all that, but some people like clicking on that email and emailing.
Or they'll email before they fill out the form. They just have a quick question and they'll send the email and then they'll fill out the quote form or whatever later, you know, once they get that question answered.
So a lot of advertisers have that on their site and they're not taking it down. They like having their email. So the question is, how do you track it? Well, we just utterly bashed clicks on a button tracking or click whatever.
Right.
But that's one way to track it. The ways I've seen people track it is using Google Analytics event tracking, which
right.
is basically
yeah.
the same track
on
clicks
click.
On
yeah.
something on the website. And so you can track when people click on that email. Now, will everyone that click end up sending an email? Of course not. It's not going to be perfect. But I still think it's worth tracking. I work with an agency, Chris, and they're very big on getting all results for their clients and showing all the results they're getting. They had us set up Google Analytics event tracking, and we track clicks on the email. And it does, some do come in. And if you don't want to do that, if you do have trouble doing the event tracking from Google Analytics, you can set up whatever website you get, whatever email you use. You can just know that some of them come from Google Ads. It's not perfect. You're not going to get the lead tracking information imported into the account. But at the same time, I would lean towards the side of if you like having the email on the site, even if you can't track it, still leave it on the site. So this is about running perfect for Google Ads, a perfect website. And to me, the perfect website gets business. So even though this individual episode, part two, is about conversion tracking, I'm not a crazy fundamentalist about conversion tracking. Even though we're really pushing how awesome it is on this episode, I'm still all about awesome business results above everything.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And if that leads to a few blind conversions coming in where you're getting emails and you don't know what keyword they're coming from or if they're coming from Google Ads, that's okay. Leave the email on the site if that's what works for you.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, let's jump to something that I don't think is too much of an issue, but I think it's definitely important.
You've never worked with moving companies then. This is a massive issue.
Is it? Okay, well, phone number prominent on every page. Usually the way websites work is they build a header and they put the header on every page and the header contains the phone number. So I don't feel...
Okay, the way website... That's back in the day when people hired a website designer to make an awesome small business website for them. You talked about it last week. A lot of people are DIYing their websites.
Okay.
They, for whatever reason, may not be the best designers. They don't right. put their website prominently in the header on every page. They put it in the footer. They use a font color that's a different shade of the same gray that the footer is. And you can't
gray
see,
on
you
gray.
Laugh. You laugh at me, Chris, and I can only take you laughing at me so many hours of my life just looking at this little screen of you video call just laughing at me. But it's true. I've experienced this over and over. If the
That's
point
funny.
Is to get phone calls, you want to make sure you're giving people a chance to see your phone number. And I have run into issues with businesses that don't put it prominently in the header on every page, that don't even put it in the header. Sometimes they put it in the footer. Sometimes they put it in the header, but the font color is hard to see. Sometimes they put it super small above the header. And it's like, what are you doing? The point is to get calls. So why is your phone number so small? I guarantee you there's people listening now that are going to go look at their website for the first time in their life, like a customer, and go, wow, why is my phone number above the header in this small little line where you can barely see it when the whole point is to advertise to get calls. So
yeah, I
you want to make it.
I love your next point.
Page. That's the
I
point
love your
of
next
advertising.
Point. Your next point makes a lot of sense, because I do firmly believe that there's a lot of reason to have a call to action on every form, on every phone number. And I think this is a great point. It's not something I think I've ever laid out and told a client, like, hey, you need a call to action on that phone number. But that makes a lot of sense. Having a giving them a reason to call, get an estimate, get a quote, schedule now, talk to an expert, you know, get questions answered, you know, start the process.
Yeah. If it's some kind of mortgage thing or some kind of addiction treatment thing, it's not like get a quote. It's like, you know, set yourself free. Start your new life today. It could be real brass tacks, like get a quote now, or it can be selling inspirational things like fix your life today. Start the process. Take the first step.
That's a great point. Yeah. Yeah. And that, I see that and just to be clear, I'm imagining someone, you know, putting that in the same font size as their phone number. It can be a little subtext next to it, you know, like something right beside it that's a little bit smaller. But having something in there that says, call this number to do this, you know, the whole call to action doesn't need to be so big and prominent as the phone number that you end up taking up an entire, you know, line of your entire website that pushes everything else down. But that's a great point. I really like that. I don't think I've ever stated that outright, but that's good.
And on mobile, Chris, it can be a little icon of a phone call, little phone icon or whatever, as opposed to the full number, just something to, or next to the full number, whatever, but something to just get people's attention, and then also kind of get them kickstarted into taking the next step, you know, like, yeah, we've got tons of great content on our website. Don't read it. Just like you came here to contact us. Here's how you know, we're inviting you. Contact us. So it kind of gives people a little kick in the rear end. So this one is a controversial one. I've had fist fights with clients, Chris.
No, you have
I've
not.
Had duels with clients. We've met at high noon and walked 12 paces and then turned around and shot at each other. I guess you can tell who won.
Yeah. You're
based
still here.
On who's doing this podcast today.
That's right.
Yep. But this one really does get ugly with clients. Simple lead form. So clients, advertisers, what they want is they only want to be contacted if someone wants to give them $1 million. And they're like, please don't contact my business unless this is the magazine company where you win $5,000 a month for life. Unless that's it and I don't have to do my business that I hate anymore because I have to support a family that I hate and I just wish I was a baseball player.
What?
Banging everything I see on the road. Like, you know, so that's what they see. That's why it gets so emotional, because they only want to do... Some people are unhappy with their business, Chris. They're unhappy with their life.
Okay,
and
you say so.
Even though the point of running a business advertising is to get new business. But some people are like, well, I only want it if it really is going to make
qualified.
Me a lot of money, blah, blah,
has
blah.
To be qualified.
Yes, they want qualified leads. They don't want to put the work in. They don't want to have a multi-step thing. They don't want to talk to people. So they want someone to qualify themselves with a super long form.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem for a Google Ads
identify with that
is, have you had those discussions with clients?
No, I'm thinking more of myself. I mean, I'm thinking about my own website.
Wow, very, very, very revealing moment there, Chris. Do you ever, you ever play baseball back in the day?
No, is that the one with the goalies? I don't know that game.
Good dodge. Chris, simple lead forms. Clients, they want to qualify advertisers, the businesses, they want to qualify people. The problem with doing that is the longer the form, the less, it's just, this is a truth of the world. It's just a truth. The longer the form, the less successful conversions, completions of the form you'll get. People don't want to fill out super long forms of businesses they don't know. So the problem is, the most simple form is just to click on a button, like not even a form, not even your name. That's the most simple.
Right.
Like, click this button to win big in life.
Right. That just doesn't work.
Rub the Buddha's tummy. Like that would get a high conversion rate, but it won't do anything for your business. So you have to put something in the form to be able to help you as a business get in touch with that lead, but you don't want to overdo it. So you have to find that happy medium. For me, it's usually like name, email, phone number, and then something. moving zip codes and then a description of your move. Just how can we help you? Something beyond just the basic contact info. It's going to depend on the business, but that's generally what I like to see as an advertiser. What do you do, Chris? Have you run into spots where like you're getting great traffic, but the form is literally 20 questions long and you're not getting conversions? What do you do?
Yeah. For me,
it's not easy.
My best pitch for clients is this. Hey, listen, George, I know you have that 16 line item form on your site. What if above that you let me, you know, or you had your really good developer just put in just name, email, and message, you know, up towards the top or at the bottom or something like that, you know? So the way I like to think of it is multiple options for them to convert. Phone number if they want to call, long form if they want to quote, and then a quick contact if they just want to just get a quick answer, you know, addressed for something important for them. So that's usually the way I approach it. And now that's what I do on my website. I don't just say that to clients. I do that for myself. I have a long form and I have a short form. And if they're interested, they'll use the long form because nothing in there scares them away. But if they just want to ask a quick question, short form is there, you know. So that's usually my suggestion for keeping things simple.
I love that. My rule of thumb is go as simple as makes sense for your business. And a lot of advertisers don't hear the first part of that advice. It's really truly go as simple. Try to make it as simple, but as makes sense for your business. And then if you're in a spot where you really do need a lot of information, try that two-step process where maybe on different parts of your website, you have the longer form and then you have the shorter form. And then sometimes people do a two-step process. You fill out the shorter form. That's what everyone can see. And then for everybody that fills that out, the thank you page has a longer form and it says, thanks, we'll contact you soon. If you want to go ahead and jumpstart this and save yourself time when we talk to you, fill out the second form or something to that effect.
Yep. Okay. So these next two things, I would say
controversial.
Yeah.
Controversial.
We like opinions on this show, mainly our own. We don't really like your opinion. We like our own opinions. So we're going to throw opinions at you. Number one, Jason and I don't really like chat boxes. We had a little, and I think we might go into this at Patreon. I think this would be a good Patreon topic, which we do after the show. If you'd like to join, paidsearchpodcast.com and join us on Patreon. But chat boxes are, I usually kind of just moan and say, okay, well, great. You know, what other things can I track? I've yet to find a chat system, integrated chat system that gives me reliable information. As soon as I put conversion code on something or, you know, tell it to trigger a conversion once certain point A has been reached, I usually just end up getting a ton of conversions because every time it loads and pops up and says, hi, can we help you? It triggers a conversion, you know, even if the person didn't type, you know, or if they do type, you know, I get 0% conversion because it never works right. It's just, it's really crazy because a lot of times those chat things pop up in separate windows. So, you know, did the cookie work right? You know, did it trigger properly? There's just so many things. So most of the time clients don't get a whole lot of action on chat boxes. You know, they just don't get a whole lot of people contacting them that way. So for multiple reasons.
So are
you
saying people prefer to deal with real people at a business that they're potentially going to give money?
No, that's not
a quote unquote virtual assistant.
I know there are real people.
So they can help make the business make even more money?
I know there are real
people don't prefer that?
Behind those chat boxes. I know there are real people. So that's not what I'm saying.
No, you're wrong. You're wrong.
Some of them do.
Not always. Sometimes the ones I've experienced lately, it's all virtual. Like, I'm your virtual assistant. Please tell me how I can help you today.
Right.
Let me point you in the right direction. Or I say, before you ruin our country and outsource everything to computers, why don't we buy American, hire American? Half this audience is international. But you know what? They all want to be here anyway. So one day they will be Americans if they're lucky. So let's say buy American, hire American. And why don't you hire someone at your small business to field leads and schedule people? Yeah. Why don't they do that, Chris?
Well, people are expensive. you can't just get them off the side of the street nowadays, and you gotta hire them. I don't know. We'll talk about it more in Patreon, but chat boxes are meh. I'm not usually a big fan.
Okay, so you're not a fan for tracking purposes. I'm not a fan in general.
In general, yeah.
But also, I am also for tracking purposes, I'm not a fan. Like we were talking about with clicks on a button, I just have very rarely, and in this case with chatboxes, never come across a client where we can get conversion tracking done on the box. And I don't know. I just ignore the box, honestly. Like, if I see the box, I'm like, well, you've got the box there, so we're not, like, you want to tell me how you track conversions there? We track calls, we track lead forms, and if you got the box, you got the box. But for me, this is just my advice. I don't like it. I think a good website can hold itself, and the content can be engaging enough to and relevant enough to the search that you don't need a box. But that said, just know, if you are getting leads through a box and you're not tracking them, then you're not getting all the conversion data you could. But maybe there is a way to track them, and you should investigate that with the different ones you use.
Yeah.
But I've not come across it yet.
Okay. I think this next one's going to be even less controversial. Pop-ups. You know, everyone's doing it, but that doesn't mean you should. Listen. Same thing you heard in middle school about drugs.
Chris, on YouTube, I'm gonna put an ad right here, just so you know. When we're bashing pop-ups, an ad's gonna pop up.
Nobody wants to sign up for your newsletter, you know, for 10% off. If they are concerned about 10% off, they'll find it on the site on your header or something. You don't need to pop up. Listen, it's not that innovative for you to pop it up as soon as their mouse leaves the window, you know, or as soon as they leave that tab. You have some special code that tracks when they've been on the site for a certain number of seconds, and you know a person's engaged when they have been on the site for 25 seconds. So you pop it up and then trigger that action, and boy, it just works great. No, it doesn't. Just, it's not a good experience, and it is documented that Google does not like pop-ups. It is documented, and it is a detriment to your SEO, and I would say, there's no proof, but I'd say probably your quality score. I don't think that Google likes it, they don't encourage it, and I think that you could suffer. You can't prove me wrong, because there's no documentation one way or the other.
On the upcoming episodes, we're going to talk about visual tips for the website, we're going to talk about content tips for the website, and like you're saying, Chris, I'm not a fan of pop-ups, and I've probably gotten hundreds or maybe even thousands of pop-ups in my life on websites.
Oh, yeah.
Sign up for a newsletter,
yeah.
Get a quote, blah, blah, blah. Never in my life. You know what my conversion rate is, my personal conversion rate is on those in terms of doing it myself?
Zero.
Never. I've never filled out a pop-up,
no.
And I never will, because if I'm on a website, I'm in control. I'm in control of my life. I'm in control of my destiny. I'm in control of everything. I'm not going to be your little sheep and fill it out just because it popped up and now it has my attention. I'm past that. I'm smarter than everybody, but I still think most people are smart enough not to go, oh, pop up, let me fill it out now.
It says email. I'll just put it in there. Duh.
Oh, let me put in my email. It's a bad user experience. And the problem from a Google Ads perspective is, how do you track that one?
Yeah.
You know, I guess you can take users to a thank you page, but obviously with pop-ups, that doesn't happen a lot. But then they're on a thank you page. And
From Google Ads, I mean, do you call that a conversion? I would never track a newsletter sign up or an email sign up for a 10% discount as a conversion. That is not a monetary gain. That is a non-monetary gain.
Someone could say, well, we have them fill out the full lead form on a pop-up. But in our experience, when we see pop-ups just as users, they're always for newsletters or discounts or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So Chris, this one we do like, a lead form on every page.
Before you go into it, let me tell you guys about Opteo. Reminds you again to go to Opteo, opteo.com/PSP2. We've been talking for almost an hour. They're still doing the special. I know life moves quick, and you might think, oh, that was a super quick kind of sell and offer. No, they're still doing it. you're listening to this podcast, you know, 2 months after it came out, it's still going to work. These guys are legit about this. They've told us that they're offering this to our listeners, and this is not a URL that's available anywhere else. It's not an offer that's available on their site. That's why you have to go to the chat and ask them about it, because it's a special offer. And this is a tool designed to get things done faster in Google Ads. And that's exactly what it does. It's a tool, hit buttons, hit switches, boom, 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 graphical interface, colors, red and green. You're going to love this because it helps you make decisions faster. And that's the goal of Opteo. So check it out, opteo.com/PSP2. Give it a whirl for free for 2 months.
Thanks, Chris. And we want to thank Kyle Solerud and his podcast, Google Ad Strategy with Kyle Solerud. You can go to his website, googleadstrategy.com. You can search Google Ad Strategy and all your podcast players. You should see it there, Google Ad Strategy with Kyle Solerud. It's a great podcast. He's got a lot of shorter episodes that are kind of like learning the basics of Google Ads at the beginning of his podcast in the first 30 episodes. And since then, he's mixed in some very interesting interviews with experts about Google Ads. You can go to his website, googleadstrategy.com. See some of the recent episodes, Google Ads, One Penny Clicks in 2002, Guaranteed Conversion Bidding, and more. Make each click count with Google Shopping, Google Ads for nonprofits, YouTube Ads for brick and mortar businesses. Very interesting topics. GoogleAdsStrategy.com. Listen to the podcast, Google Ads Strategy with Kyle Solerud. Listen and improve your Google Ads skills today. So, Chris, we were talking about having a lead form on every page, and this is one that when I see this on a business website, this is the cue to me that, wow, this person wants to work with me. This is going to be a great client. This is going to go well, because if someone has a lead form on every page of their site, that means they're thinking about lead generation. They have that mindset, and the lead generation campaign we're going to run on Google Ads, it's going to go well because our website's going to help us get it done. So just like with the phone numbers, being prominent and giving people the best chance possible to convert, that's what a lead form on every page does. Say they go to your homepage and they click to a service page that was more about the exact service they wanted. If they have that lead form there on that page, it gives them a chance to go, boom, that's my service. I'm going to fill out the lead form, as opposed to, okay, where's the contact page now? Now I got to find that. And people can get distracted. So I like having it on every page if possible. The one tip, Chris, don't overdo it. You still need to have content and visuals on the page. So I like it right in the sidebar. I like it below the content, but just giving people a chance on every page, but not making it too prominent. Do you like seeing that lead form on every page?
Absolutely. I do. Phone number and contact form on every page. I think it's appropriate to have a long form quote or contact form in some places on the site, but not on every page. That's not what we're talking about. I think when you talk about this, you're talking about simple lead forms on every page, not long form, for sure, quote forms, you know, qualification forms on every page. You know, in reality, if you're having an issue fielding the number of unqualified leads that you're getting, the problem is not because your lead form isn't complicated enough. The problem is the level of funnel and the communication on your site. Number one, you're bringing people to your site that are unqualified. And number two, you're not communicating that what you're offering is not what they want. You know, you don't have price points on there that are scaring the poor people away. You know, you don't have something on there that keeps people from contacting you if they absolutely cannot afford your service, or it's the wrong kind of level of service, or if it's a business to business kind of thing. You keep getting consumers, then your content's too confusing. They don't understand that you don't sell to them, that you only sell in wholesale or bulk, or, you know, licensed providers or something like that. So, lead forms, no matter what, on every page is ideal.
And just like we were talking about with calls to action on the phone numbers, you can have calls to action on the lead forms to help people know they're in the right place. So like on the lead form, you can have it, learn how we can help your business grow.
Yeah.
Well, communicate. That's going to cut down on the B2C
right.
Leads you don't want that you're getting. So it's a chance to message and help people know they're in the right place. So Chris, we want people to use this website series as a checklist. So last week we talked about the tech specs to figure out if you have a perfect website for PPC. Today we went through the conversion tracking tips, how to make your website conversion tracking friendly. You can use it as a checklist. Next week we'll be talking visual tips, all the things visually you can do on your website, images, videos, logos, and all that. Then we'll have an episode on content, and then we have a miscellaneous episode potentially to wrap things up. So with that said, we're going to go into Patreon. You can get access to these episodes for as little as $700,000 a month or $2 a month. But you can go to paidsearchpodcast.com, click on the link to Patreon, and find out which one is correct. And for as little as $2 a month, you can get another kind of 4 episodes a month of content from us. We just talk about life, talk about business, talk about Google Ads, and we kind of do an after show each week. So you can sign up there. And if not for anything, sign up for Chris's horrible, boring, low energy introduction to the Patreon show. He nails it every week. He never fails to deliver. He takes over the intros on those, and I'll be looking forward to that. So we'll go into that right now.